Welcome to Keepers.
We're a married couple who went to France for the 2019 World Cup, fell in love with women's soccer, so naturally when the pandemic hit, we started a fantasy league for the NWSL. This is our podcast.
I'm Holly Wild. Follow me at Wild Woso. That's Wild, with an E.
And I'm Jared Gilkerson. Find me at Jared_radio and follow us at Keepers Podcast. We're back.
It's the 2024 season.
10 months later, we have returned.
Woohoo! Look at how happy this one is.
Keepers Podcast is back in a brand new state.
That's right.
Brand new time zone.
That's right. And got a new hometown team.
We do.
We're in Durham. We've got the North Carolina Courage, but Angel City always first in our hearts.
That's true. And we're excited. We're in a soccer hotbed now.
Yes.
We went from a kind of an up-and-coming soccer town, I think, LA, in a way.
I mean, there were some good draft picks from UCLA this year.
But it feels good to, since we've been in Durham, you know, we've had a chance to catch Duke and UNC and the Courage. It's really cool. Like, this is a, it's a different flavor in this town with the collegiate soccer excitement.
Yeah.
And so, we're in Durham, North Carolina, and, but the show's the same. This is Keepers Podcast. It's fantasy women's soccer podcast with a focus on the NWSL. So, welcome back. This is our, this is our season four.
It is season four.
Yeah, this is all started during the pandemic. And now we're rocking and rolling. Like, Jared's just, you know, raising his championship banner.
I was waiting for that.
That's right.
Was wondering how you were going to roll that in.
Yeah, after 2 years of Holly Wild, right? Was it back-to-back titles for you?
Yep, back-to-back.
Back-to-back titles for Holly. Now, Jared, with 15-7 last year.
Uh-huh.
Only
who handed you five of those, though? That's
okay.
I mean, in head-to-head competition, I did beat you 5-2.
That's very true, but you know, you played down to your competition. and you play up.
I think you're doing Jeannie a disservice there by saying that, because she wiped us out a couple of times last year and made a really strong push. I don't think I played down. I think I had some tough competition.
No hate. All the way around. No hate for Jeannie. Jeannie finished 10-12, and our newcomer Jess was 6-16. But it was a much more competitive. It was probably our most competitive year. You were 13-9, you know. So we were all, Jeannie took us to the woodshed a few times, and we'll have a few new players in our league this year. So we play. If you're new to the podcast, I know you love when I do this, but we play. It's fantasy NWSL. It's four teams in the league. We do it draft style. I know some fantasy leagues do, you know, where you can buy players from week to week. But we do a draft style, and it's hyper-focused on the offensive side of the ball, as a lot of fantasy is. But you'll get to know our league. You have to have one goalie and one defender on your squad.
No, this year last year we went with three.
Oh, you're right.
That's right. So
completely.
Let me update you on the directions from not 2 years ago, but in fact last year and also this year. You have to have one goalie, but three defenders on your squad, because we expanded our squads to 11, so that we have a starting 11. You know, just like they do on the pitch. So
that's right. I completely spaced on that. The cool thing is that you're not so locked in with, you know, these are a lot of them are flexes. So you've got, you know, you can flex, you got to have your defenders and keepers, but you can flex those forwards and midfielders. Mm-hmm. And then your five bench players, and then you've got an IR spot. So, we're going to fire this thing up. So Jared's, you know, banners are raised. I'm coming out to defend the title, and hopefully you are too, if you're listening. Can I give you last year's winning squad, for the last week of the season?
Do it.
It was Kaylin Sheridan, Caprice Didasco, Alex Loetta, Tatum Milazzo, Megan Rapinoe, Trinity Rodman, Morgan Weaver, Ashley Hatch, Bethany Balser, Midge Purse, and Hina Sagita, with Sophia Smith on the bench, because Sophia Smith ran the team, so I can't, you know, I have to mention her. She's pretty much our league MVP. Mm-hmm. Jordan Heidema, Thimbi Katlana, Michelle Alozi, and Sophia Huerta. That was the squad at the end of the year that got me there. So strong. I look at that roster. Let's talk about it. No, I look at that roster and I think
let's give Jared some props.
Even That's though Sophia Smith got me there, and it was, but I had, you know, for context in our league, if you're scoring in that around that 100, you know, 100 plus, is you're going to be in the mix. But I had 125, 107, 105 in the year, and that's without Smith. And it's because players like Sagita and Purse and Rapinoe all stepped up. And then while you have players like Loetta and Sheridan, I mean, it's great. And then you put Didasco on the list. Didasco was actually a top 10 scorer in the league last year as a defender. So I had a really balanced team, and I was really happy with this squad. So it's going to be sad to see Rapinoe go. Mm-hmm. Cause she was so much fun to just have on the team, where she'd just explode for 50 points or something out of this world. So, that was the winning squad the last week of the year. And, we move on to 2024. And today we're going to talk about what's kind of near and dear to all the listeners' hearts is, what are the biggest fantasy storylines coming into 2024? And so you and I were tasked with, like, what's kind of eating at us coming up on the draft soon, which we will have a mock draft in our second episode this year.
Yes.
But we want to talk about kind of those burning questions on everyone's mind. So Holly, what's burning in your head right now?
What's burning in my head? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, the burning question in my head was which team had the best offseason and which team had the worst offseason. I also thought it would be fun to discuss this because we were very vehement about this last year and how poorly the Courage did. And then they went on to win the Challenge Cup and make the playoffs and go deep into the playoffs. So we were clearly so wrong. So I think it's fun to pontificate and see if we are right or wrong again.
I agree. I mean, do you want to start with something that, like, how do you want to do it? Do you want to start with teams that, like, really surprise you and you love what they have, or teams that are kind of cellar dweller, didn't do much?
Yeah, let's talk about who won the offseason.
All right.
Right? So, I mean, I think there's an obvious choice here who won the offseason, and it's Gotham, because, you know, they poached everyone in free agency. They've got, you know, Sonnet and Lavelle from the Reign to you know, bolster an already strong midfield. They've got Dunn from Portland, who can literally play anywhere and be amazing. And, you know, they got Tierna Davidson from the Chicago Red Stars, who, you know, everyone knows she's not my favorite player, but I think she's a really excellent choice to replace an amazing Ellie Riley in center back, who retired. But I have some honorable mentions just for some more interesting conversation fodder, because I think that one's kind of a no-brainer.
What do you got?
Okay. So let me know if you think I'm a homer here, but I don't think I am. I'm really going to give ACFC some credit for the moves. Oh, I'm getting a squinchy face. Okay. Here, let me tell you why. They got Rocky Rodriguez from the Thorns, who's a strong number 10 to replace Savannah McCaskill. And then they did something really interesting, which is that I don't know what the floor is, but they might now have, like, the youngest, you know, overall, like, most of the younger players on the team. They drafted Casey Fair, or they signed Casey Fair from South Korea, who's, I think, barely 17. They've already got Alyssa Thompson, and now they've got her younger sister, Giselle, on defense. And they signed the under 17 captain for the U.S. youth national team, midfielder Kennedy Fuller. So I think that's just really, really interesting. Plus getting Messiah Bright from Orlando. Thoughts on that?
I forgot about the Bright move.
Yeah. But what do you think about that strategy of you know, consistently signing a lot of young up and coming talent? I mean, they've definitely over indexed on it. I think they have more than any other team. Don't quote me on that, but it feels like it.
Yeah, I mean, on a fantasy angle, I don't love it, because there hasn't been too many really super young. I mean, there are, like, your Jaden Shaw and Rodman and Sophia Smith, but and they are young. But I get nervous when a team who just slid into the playoffs, you know, kind of gets rid of that. Like, McCaskill was, like, the backbone. And this note to no fault of their own, June Endo being hurt and out for the year is
such a bummer.
Is huge. And then I think up front they're a little flimsy. I think Alyssa Thompson, when I see this squad, I see Alyssa Thompson and Clarice Le'Veon, who are, like, the, to me, like the points, the fantasy points leaders.
And no, you're thinking Emsley.
Oh.
Not Le'Veon.
Oh, yeah, Emsley. Where's yeah. Le'Veon?
She's in midfield. She's meh.
I like because she finished strong last year, but I do like Emsley as well. But Le'Veon did finish well. But I see Sydney Leroux as a wild card, but she's just way too injury prone for a 22 game season. So fantasy wise, I think Thompson's the star, but I'm not sure she can score over. And for our fantasy team, for context, the top scorers score. If you're scoring over 300 points, you're number one. If you're in the high 200, you're great. And I just don't know if Thompson can even get over 200 this year without like a giant supporting cast around her. And like I said, Endo's injury kills them fantasy wise.
I don't know. I wouldn't count Messiah Bright out.
No, I do like Bright.
Honestly, because she, you know, she was one of the top scoring rookies of, you know, she's actually one of the top goal scorers of last year. I think she had 6. Sophia Smith, of course, had 11. But, you know, that's a pretty strong rookie season for not being a consistent starter.
Let me give you Messiah Bright's last 6 weeks of fantasy last year. 0-4-2-0-0-5. She had
sure,
moments.
And the weeks before that, she had 22 and 25. So inconsistent. That's, but she also wasn't a consistent starter. So
that's true.
If she's a consistent starter on Angel City, I see that consistency going up.
I honestly see more potential in an injury-plagued Sydney Leroux in fantasy. Just because Leroux can...
That's fair. That's fair.
Because Leroux is like a game. She takes over a game.
Yeah.
She takes it over.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean,
that bicycle kick from last year, I was thinking about that yesterday. I don't know why I'm still thinking about that. It was amazing.
So honestly, I'm not super excited about a team. They did score 31 goals last year, but I think one of those games, they had like 7. I think there was some crazy game where they had that. I think that, you know, I mean, against like Portland, they had like 5, 6, 7 goals. I forget what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if that was it, that's the outlier. So if you get rid of that, we're talking 21 games scoring 24 goals. So I don't expect more than like a goal or every game. And that to me,
that's a high expectation though.
For fantasy value, there's so many more teams that I love.
Okay. Okay. So, I got another one for you. This is a little diversion from the fantasy track, but I have another honorable mention. I think there's a no brainer here, which is Kansas City because their new stadium is opening, for the 2024 season. Like, do we make a trip?
Oh, maybe.
To see the first purpose-built stadium for women's sports.
See which barbecue's better?
Uh-oh, throwing down the gauntlet. And they made some interesting signings, too. You know, they've got... the one I'm most interested is our under-20 captain, midfielder Claire Hutton. I just, I just don't know that much about her because I haven't, frankly, followed the youth teams, but I'm interested to see what she's doing. However... there's a but here because they also hired Vlatko Ananovsky as head coach. And do you know who their assistant coach is?
No.
Freya Coombe, who got booted from Angel City last year.
Oh, cool.
For being terrible.
Jeez.
I wonder if they're going to hire Mark Parsons as well because he got fired at the end of the season.
You mentioned Vlatko. I'm worried because I read some articles that say he runs his 4-3-3. And that the roster may not support this. So I'm like, so just change your system.
Well, you know, he doesn't change his system. Well, saw that at the World Cup. He was like, could not adjust for, you know, anything.
We saw that firsthand at the World Cup.
Yeah.
We were there, by the way. So
yes.
Good times.
Yes, we were.
Kind of.
We did not actually podcast about that. We should do a World Cup podcast.
That's
like
cool.
a special one. Let's do a special edition.
Special.
We'll put it on there. Okay.
Brought to you by.
Oh my gosh. Radio voice.
But I'm...
Okay, so what do you think that coaching lineup, like, how does that affect your... Does that affect your fantasy draft? Like, do you think twice about drafting from the current?
Yeah, because they really didn't impress me last year when they added Dabinia. And I'm a firm believer when you're a coach, unless you're Phil Jackson and winning 11 titles and you have the triangle, you know, where the players are like, we need to adjust to this because this system is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Vlatko doesn't have a system that's unbelievable. So I'm a firm believer that you should adjust your lineup based... You should adjust your style based on your lineup,
yeah.
Which he won't do.
And they also have 2 tens, which is a completely redundant waste, you know, because they have Labonte and then they signed Dabinia. I'm not sure why. Like,
yeah,
I don't get it. I don't get the management decision there.
I'm worried a little bit about them losing Kaiser because that's a lot of offense. She was really good. So they lose Kaiser. But them signing Brazilian international, I might butcher this, Bia Bia Zarinato.
Bia.
And
I mean, that's your offense.
Malawian
right
forward Timwa Chawinga. So they've gotten,
yeah, I mean,
they've gotten,
she averaged almost a goal a game in the Chinese Super League last year.
So there could be some cool stuff with a couple of Brazilians in there with Dabinha and Bia. So, and they mm-hmm. might have some familiarity. But I think, and they also lost Alex Loetta on defense, who was a really good defender. Mm-hmm. She was on my team. She was up and down with injuries, but she's really talented.
But they did get Sophie Braun, who plays for, you know, Argentinian national teams as a center back.
It just feels
that doesn't show up.
It just feels unstable. It feels unstable to me. I like the money they're putting into the club, but
surely they don't have a system that's gelled at all.
I don't get excited fantasy wise when I see that. Dabinha to me, obvious. I'm going to take Dabinha. She's always draftable in the first three rounds to me because she's just so explosive. But I don't really get excited about anyone else like early in this draft, or I'm not going to reach for anyone. So that's my assessment of Kansas City.
Fair.
Can we double back to Gotham? Because I don't think we took enough time to talk about that.
All right.
Because
roll it back.
You mentioned Dunn, Lavelle, Davidson, Sonnet, and they still have Williams, Purse, Nyswanger, O'Hara. Yeah. So, but their forwards are sick. It's literally, if you go to their website,
it's ridiculous.
Williams, Purse, Dunn, I love listed as a forward.
Yeah.
And Stengel, who's uh-huh. really like just that stable, and then Esther Gonzalez.
Yeah. So, Esther Gonzalez, who won the World Cup last year. Like,
that's a good point.
You know, I mean, I think she only played in the last maybe 3-4 games of the season last year, but wow.
I get a little worried
so
about
much.
The star
there's power. Her ceiling is high, I think, in fantasy.
You think?
I do.
With that loaded front, I don't know. I just don't know.
Well, here's the thing. Who do you start? I mean, like, you could honestly play five up front.
Well, I think you just gave away my next point, which is it's a little scary because I think with the Olympic year and the team being so talented, that I think you could see a lot of resting of players, which really could hurt
fantasy.
Yeah,
that concerns me.
And so it's scary, but it's kind of hack to say, but this is a loaded fantasy team with possibly two first-round picks on the team, Williams and Purse.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think with the additions of Dunn and Lavelle scoring, I don't think that really kills Williams and Purse too much because Lavelle, honestly, I'd be surprised if she plays double-digit games this year. For real. She's always missing time and with an Olympic year.
Yeah.
I don't think... Nyswanger will get her scores. It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough.
But, I mean, Sonnet is like the six, right? Like, I feel like she's best as the defensive midfielder, not the attacking midfielder.
Oh, no, they don't need that.
Yeah. So...
But, I mean, how could that not be an A+?
Yeah, so what you're saying is you think that instead of like stealing points from each other, they're just going to generate more offense.
I think Williams and Purse
is such a monster.
I don't have high hopes, and I think Nyswanger is like a good base.
Yep.
But I really don't. I know Dunn is super talented, but she's been in a system for like a decade in Portland, and I just, you know, when you change teams, sometimes you don't know. Like you saw Christy Mewis go over there and not do much. So it just depends how they use her. So, like, is she really going to be a forward? She's listed as a forward on there, but I could see them being, wait, Crystal, we need you to play defensive back today because up front we're fine.
I think she's going to generate fantasy points wherever she is. You know, maybe not necessarily goals, but maybe assists, maybe key passes, maybe other things. I just really like, she's just kind of a consistent engine.
What other teams you got?
All right. Okay. I got...
Those are the sounds of notes, everyone.
Yes. I got one more honorable mention, Orlando Pride, for signing all the Brazilians.
That's true.
Because Five. They already had... they retained Marta, Adriana, and Rafaela, and now they have Luana and Angelina, both Brazilian national team midfielders.
Yeah, and they got some sweet kits. Did you see them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The oranges.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are fun.
Smart.
Yeah.
But fantasy-wise... I think Adriana has all the star power.
Mm-hmm.
She's a star. She missed the first 6 weeks last year, but she'd ended strong. She had 420-plus point mm-hmm. games
Exploded.
In the last 7 weeks.
Yep.
And I think for the first time since they've had Alex Morgan, I'm kind of excited about the possibility of drafting someone from the squad because there was a year in fantasy, I think a couple years ago, where
Nobody
no one
had
played anyone from Orlando.
Yeah, seriously.
And last year, they showed some promise.
Mm-hmm.
And now with, like you said, a handful of the Brazilian national teamers plus, is Adriana another Brazilian national team?
Yes.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, this is fun. Marta is always a good spot start. She sometimes gets, I don't think she's going to, I don't see her getting drafted this year, maybe late, but she's always a good stash on the bench kind of player.
Yeah. I mean, her overall average is really, you know, it's pretty decent. It's pretty high.
Yeah.
But it's not, it varies from week to week. There's volatility there.
Was that the last team that was on your awesome list?
Yeah, but I want to do a hometown update for the North Carolina Courage.
Oh yeah. Let's talk Courage.
Yeah. So J-Mag is back.
J-Mag.
Jessica McDonald.
Oh, J-Mag.
Yeah. Is back as club ambassador.
Yeah, front office.
Yeah. She went to the front office. So that's kind of exciting.
J-Mag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know how I feel about this. I'm excited for Sanchez. I think she's fire and I'm just going to love to watch her play. But, you know, they lost Tess Bodie in the expansion draft and Carolyn is injured. So TBD. And then they also signed Danny Weatherholt. I just felt like she was just not my favorite player on Angel City.
She was not used properly.
Are you sure? Because yes. I just felt like she was not
She's a midfielder now.
And she was always a midfielder.
Yeah, but they were playing her as a more of a defensive mid that was not based on ball possession. This team has more ball possession, and she's going to be asked to play more up front goal scorers. I'm telling
we'll
you.
We'll see. I just feel like she's just not.
I watched some press conferences. She's excited.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're an expert now.
Yeah, watch the practice too. Oh, come on now, huh? Yeah, I got some inside info on
look
them.
Look at you.
Yeah, I got some inside info. She's pumped and she's playing
Weekly a completely different. Daily Sports Show producer with all possibly, of the information. Possibly.
But she's in a different role and I think she's expressed excitement about being in that role. And because then
feel like she just, like she was all hype, no follow through.
Well,
Angel City.
I think it's a waste to talk about her fantasy value because I don't think there's a ton of value there.
Okay, I was just doing a hometown update.
I roll coffee.
What a
sip.
Dick. All right, that's it.
Bianca St. George, I think, is draftable on defense. They picked up from Chicago. And
we'll see.
But my big question is, who's the second fantasy option behind Carolyn? Is it Sanchez? And then do not sleep on Tyler Lucy. Total stud. Will just come through and score two goals in a game. And then don't forget about Manaka. She's a midfielder. But super talented. She's like 20 years old. So I think this.
Oh yeah, I forget about her. Actually, I think, she was great. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think this team is poised for another playoff run because they're so locked in to their system and they're really good. They have a good culture there.
Yeah, I mean, I think their coach has done really great stuff.
But
last year,
if Carolyn isn't 100%, they could get a lot of 0-0 games. I'm just saying. Mm. So we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully Ashley Sanchez can have a nice influx of, because she was great, the three-headed monster in Washington.
Yeah, I feel like she's going to let it fire.
Yeah. What else you got?
I got fail. I got one fail.
Yeah, who's that?
The Houston Dash.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just so underwhelmed by them.
Yeah.
They just didn't do anything interesting. Like, they've got a new coach.
They just don't score.
I just feel like, I don't know, after what happened in the Spanish World Cup, this coach is from Madrid, and I just feel like I fear that. You know, they got Yugi Nakasato.
Yeah.
But like...
Kaiser?
I mean, so they have like, you know, a possible offense. They just didn't do anything interesting. You know, they lost Groom and Prince. I don't know if that matters, honestly.
Groom, no. I think Prince maybe a little bit. I like Prince.
Yeah.
They were both injured a lot, but Groom is such an injury. I'm so surprised that Chicago picked her up.
I don't
understand.
Okay.
I like Groom. Like, I like her attitude.
You like her because she's fun to watch.
Yeah, but it's like, she just doesn't play.
Yeah.
So,
anyway, I just think they did nothing interesting.
Yeah, Ordóñez and Sanchez, too. Sanchez got that huge contract. She's making millions now.
Right, and Ordóñez just didn't flourish in that system last year.
Yeah, I don't know. New coach, maybe they bring some offense because they just couldn't score last year. They had great defense with Didasco and Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That was really solid. So you could count on some of the defenders for points. But I just offensively, I remember you and I were holding on to Ordóñez and Sanchez at different times last year. I even think we might have swapped them at some point.
Yeah, definitely. I think I drafted Ordóñez and she did zero.
Yeah, she was great here in North Carolina.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they might be a system thing because I think the talent's there. So we'll see how good the coach is.
So, yeah. So yeah. I'm just saying offseason, meh.
Also good kits. I love their orange and blue. So back and forth. I have notes on a few other teams, but can we talk about... really quick about Portland. Just really quick. Right. I really think some people could look at what they did and they're like, oh, you lost Dunn, you lost Cuica, you lost Rodriguez, you lost Bedford. But then you look and you go, oh, still Sophia Smith, Olivia Moultrie, Sam Coffey, Morgan Weaver, Hina Sagita.
Sauerbrunn.
Also kept Sinclair, Klingenberg, and Sauerbrunn for another year. Mm-hmm. Even though how much I loathe Sinclair for thanking Merritt Paulson after. But so I'm going to hold that grudge against her because I don't care for her.
Reasonable.
But I can say that. Okay, the team those players I listed above, the original ones I listed above with Smith, Moultrie, Coffey, Weaver, Sagita, it's over 1,000 points for
all,
five players.
All draftable.
So I will be drafting all of this team. So just really wanted to harp on that before we jump to any other burning questions, because I really think this team is, they think they scored over 40 goals, and we're talking fantasy. And
yeah,
we're talking
scoring
goals.
Goals of any team last season.
Yeah, Morgan Weaver, leading scorer in our league. She played every game. And, you know, Sophia Smith, second, you know, and even with missing all those games. So I think it's huge, but that kind of brings me into some burning questions I have.
All right.
So can Sophia Smith remain the number one overall despite the MCL injury last season? Okay. Smith internationally, the women are in the CONCACAF Gold Cup and she already looks better than she has in a lot of international games before. Sometimes she's looked lost. Now she's scored. She's looking a little more comfortable. And she didn't finish number one in our league last year in scoring, but it's due to missing three of the last 5 weeks of the season, like with the injury I mentioned. And then she played very little in the final couple games where she got 0 points because she played 5 minutes or 8 minutes. So, but she still finished second in points, still finished first in the NWSL in goals scored, which with 11. And so Smith, in my opinion, is still number one. The number one prospect. She missed 2 games in the middle of the season. So her value is even bigger. So you just think about the injuries coming back from injury and then the just common missed time in the middle of the year. I didn't look at the total games that she played. I think it might have been around 14 or 15. So as you look that up, this is a great fantasy fun fact. And for anyone who's drafting for the first time, you just got to look at this. Her goals.
17.
Okay, 17 games. Her goals per 90 minutes was 0.85. Can you guess who the next best player was and what they had?
Was it Weaver?
No, it was Carolyn at 0.54.
Oh, of course it was Carolyn. Yeah.
0.54.
Yeah.
So if she doesn't get injured last year, I think she's close to one goal per 90, which is an insane number.
Yes.
So here, this is great. Of the 15 games where she was truly healthy, she scored 26 or more points, 6 times.
I mean,
give it some context, Morgan Weaver, who led our league last year in fantasy points, did this 0 times. Lynn Williams, 3. Carolyn, 3. So we're talking 6 in a year where she missed 7 games. So she's a
5.
She's a, oh, what's that?
She missed 5 games.
Oh, I think I was saying in true games, because I'm counting those 2 games where she gets 0 as not played.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
But she's a powerhouse. I mean, she's meant for the NWSL. NWSL is a little more wide open, transitional game, and she's built for this league. I think some will have Carolyn as a top pick. She's a beast for the Courage, and Mal Swanson for Chicago, but those injuries that those two are coming back from are much more significant than what Smith has already recovered from and, in my opinion, look like she's almost 100%. So if you get the number one pick in your draft, I'm telling you, take Sophia Smith. I don't think there's any question. But it's a huge storyline because whenever you have a sliver of doubt about who the number one is, I think it has to be addressed. So that's my soapbox argument for Sophia Smith.
I don't have anything to add to that. It's a no-brainer. I mean, you were, like, weeks that she was on, you were unbeatable. There was just no team that could beat, like, no right. team could beat Sophia Smith. You didn't need, you really didn't need the rest of your team almost. You know, it was like, you know, no, it was just, it was almost an unfair advantage.
Well, you look,
know, like,
yeah,
it was
you're
just
right.
sort of like, right. if you get the number one draft pick, you will win the league because you will get Sophia Smith.
Yeah, I think you're selling me a little short there. but you do look at her opening weeks, 28, 42, 26, 26.
Yeah, I mean, stop it.
But when you paired her, week one was arguably my best week of the year. And it was Sagita 21, Smith 28, Weaver 19, Purse 23, Rodman 17. It was a giant Didasco 14. But if you can have that backbone of someone that you're going, man, 20 to 30, I think 20 to 30, put them in. And if your goal every week is to get over 100 points to have a chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my strategy is just like consistent double digits from all my players. Right.
Yeah.
If you're getting over 20 every week, that's insane.
Here's the biggest argument for her that what you were saying. Week two, where she scored 42. I only had one other player over 20. It was Bethany Balser. Other than that, that was it. A couple other double digit people. But I literally had Cuica, Malazzo, and Didasco a combined 9 points, and I won that week. So you're right. I think you have to get her. You want my second burning question?
Yeah.
This is, I think, even more confusing, way more confusing than the first one. I think this is maybe the biggest question that will determine your fantasy success this year. So listen up.
All right.
Who's the second pick? Who is number two? Who's on like your short? If you're just rapid firing right now, you go, okay, Smith number one. Who do you think is in that number two conversation?
Who do I think is in the conversation or who would I take number two?
Who's in the conversation?
Williams, Adriana, and Weaver.
You think Adriana? Mm-hmm. I didn't even put her up there. I'd like
seriously?
To hear that. I want to hear that argument right now.
I mean, she's got the third highest average number of points per game from last year.
Yeah.
So she should definitely be a first round draft pick.
You think?
Yeah. Okay. And I think that, you know, that, I mean, she just like, she was consistent. You know, once she came back, she was just a consistent scorer. She was a consistent, you know, leader for Orlando.
You're right. She did finish pretty strong. 20-23. She missed a game. 28-23. Then 2-9. But
yeah, and I mean they've shored up their midfield with you know they haven't shored it up. They have augmented their midfield with Morgan Gautreaux, Luana, and Angelina. So I just feel like there's going to be more like chances in the final third for her to convert on.
All right, well, that's good because I didn't have her, and I might have overlooked.
Who do you have?
Well, when
I love this. This is great. I'm going to give away all of my draft.
What's
strategy
what we do? We do this every
so
year.
That you can then steal it.
Wow, is this what you're going to say? Is this why you won 2 years in a row? Because I stole it? No, you got it still. So come on, you see this, folks? This is what I'm dealing with. Holly just so worried that and not realizing that I'm giving away all my stuff too. So this is all good knowledge. This is all stuff you have to work with. This adds another element to our strategy. And I'm not blowing smoke. I wouldn't do that on a podcast. I wouldn't do that just to get a fantasy edge. Wouldn't that be funny if I put someone out there? And it's like Jared's going to be interested. No, but here's my short list.
All right.
Carolyn, Lynn Williams, Mal Swanson, Jaden Shaw, Trinity Rodman.
Really?
And so
Carolyn and Mal, even though they're not officially back.
Just because, okay.
You would take them second. Even though you don't know when they're coming back.
I'm considering. I've seen Carolyn on the pitch practicing, and Mal's a little more iffy, but
I mean she's was,
unbelievable.
She was practicing with the Yeah, I mean she might
She is Chicago.
If she was healthy, she's maybe yes. the number one overall.
That's why she has to be considered. So here's it is. Carolyn tore her right ACL. It happened late in the season, so her total points didn't really take a hit. So she still had 239. But she missed a few games in the middle of the season. So honestly, I think she'll get that 230. I think she's going to get that 239 again. And when you're talking about someone who had the fourth most points in the league last year mm-hmm. while missing a few games, I know everyone kind of does.
And the second
miss a
most goals,
games.
Right? She was right behind
I believe
Smith.
So.
Yeah.
So she's in the MVP of the league. I think it has to be considered. But the torn right ACL worries me a little bit. Lynn Williams. Another person, it's amazing. People have had all these injuries. She had some major injuries years ago. But this is kind of where my eye goes because she exploded last year. Yeah, they added Dunn, Lavelle, Sonnet, Purse, and they have Purse and Nyswanger are coming down strong. But I'm not worried about them, like I said earlier, taking away from her output.
Seriously. Never, she's never Williams, not going to take shots and score.
Yes. Purse and Williams have great chemistry. We'll talk about Purse a little later. But her 280 points, Lynn Williams, was third in the league, and she missed 3 games. Like I said, most people, you're going to be hard-pressed to find like that Ashley Hatch that's going to play every game. So 280 points in, whatever that was, 19 games, 20 games. I think that has to have a serious look on that team who I think is going to put up some points this year. Jaden Shaw. This is interesting. She had 203 points last year. That's ninth in the league. She's super young, but I think she is now the superstar in San Diego. I think Alex Morgan is still the face, but I think if you're going fantasy, I think I value her over Morgan, especially in an Olympic year. And where Morgan, we're talking mid-30s almost. Shaw, what are we, 21,
but they're both
going
to play on the national team.
They are, but I think there's a lot more that goes into thinking-wise for Morgan. So if we're getting, even though we have an Olympic break, I really think you're going to see times where they pull back with Morgan and it's going to be, hey, let's watch the workload. I think Shaw can still take it on. But she scored 20 points or more five times last year. She's really reliable. She only missed one game. One. And that's during, was she on the, she wasn't on the U.S. Women's National Team roster, right, for the World Cup?
She was not.
Okay. I think she's, like I said, number one, she's the number one option in San Diego. I think Morgan misses a handful of games this season, at least because of, I'm not going to hope anyone gets injured, but I'm just seeing wear and tear there. I'm thinking potential injury, age, Olympic prep. I think Shaw misses like two games at the most. So we're talking ninth points in the league. I think she has to be considered. Trinity Rodman. I think she's in the mix, but her stats are a little bit of a roller coaster. She had 37 points 1 week last year, but then she had single digits on six occasions. That's too inconsistent. I think she's off. But look at her on the turn. If you have that four pick and it's a snake draft and you have four and five, this is a real consideration, I think. I think she's still in that turn area. And then Midge Purse.
Interesting.
I don't think she's moved into the two spot, but like Rodman, I think she should be considered at the end of the first round.
Yeah, maybe a solid.
You imagine if you get...
I would put her third round.
Imagine if you got Midge Purse at the end of the first or the beginning of the second. And you had
I
the
wouldn't
fourth
take
pick,
her as my fourth round,
and you had
my
Trinity
first round
Rodman,
draft pick.
Rodman and Purse with your first two picks. Like, I think that'd be really solid.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
But she battles injuries a lot.
Yeah.
She's only 28 years old, but she does battle injuries a lot. But like I said, I'm bringing it back around to her and Williams. It's her and Williams. I think we could see maybe, I don't know if it's the first time I got to look at the old stats, but to have two players, I mean, it's Morgan and obviously Morgan and Smith are the top two, you know, so we have seen it. But I really think they could maybe catapult and get to the top of that list. I think they could, or get damn close.
Wait, which Morgan are you talking about?
Oh, sorry, Morgan Weaver.
Yeah.
Sorry. So I don't think she's a second pick. But I'm saying I think there's a real argument for even third or fourth. I really do. I really do. Because she only played 12 games last year, and that's a worry. But I think she plays more, and I think she's going to score
I think she
more.
Plays more this year. She's healthy. She's on fire. What I saw at the end of the last year with her, with just like her footwork, just wandering around defensive players and assists and scoring. She's on the upswing, I think.
Yeah, and so that's, if I had to land right now, I think number two is Lynn Williams. I really do. She's
agree.
A third in the league, and it's kind of funny. Morgan Weaver's over there going, "Hey, what the f? I scored 314 points, and I don't miss games."
Yeah,
I know, but I also know the league, and I know people aren't going to look at her. There's another one right there. What if you got Midge Purse and Morgan Weaver back to back, four or five? I think that's legit right there. Or if you somehow got Lynn Williams and Morgan Weaver, that's a real opportunity.
I mean, that's a great, yes, right? That's a great snake right there. It's not going
to
happen unless the rest of your league is dumb. But
because what's the realistic teammate with Sophia Smith? You're drafting first. You get Sophia Smith.
Right.
Okay. Let's say these other players are gone. Let's say Adriana is gone based on your rankings. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Lynn Williams is gone. Let's say Carolyn is gone. Who else would be gone potentially? Rodman gone, Morgan Weaver gone, Crystal Dunn gone.
I mean, Alex Morgan gone also, just depending on, you know.
So now you're up. Aren't Shaw maybe gone? So you're talking maybe you get Sophia Smith, and I don't think you get Shaw, honestly. I think it's maybe Sophia Smith, Alex Morgan. I think that could be something that people should eyeball if they are on
the first pick. Yeah.
I think that's a real possibility. And check and see how far Crystal Dunn falls. Because she was fifth in the league last year. That's no joke. And on a Portland team where she was playing a lot of defense, correct? Was she still playing like
that? No, she was playing midfield.
Was she playing mid? Okay,
yeah.
She's going to be further up on Gotham.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But 231 points. when the top was 314. She's right there. So, yeah. And then you're also, you know, gets buried all the time is Ashley Hatch. And she's just so consistent. She's seventh. I traded for her last year. I traded Savannah DeMello for Ashley Hatch. And then she finishes seventh in the league in points because she plays all the time.
Yeah, you traded that. You made that trade at the right time.
It was perfect.
That was actually a really excellent trade because DeMello was super consistent for you before that. And then she just like fell off a little bit and Hatch wrote it out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I'm getting really excited because we're mock drafting next. So I will shut up because I'm excited because I think there's some keepers in there that actually could go in the first maybe two or three rounds. Possibly. So I'm looking at you, Katie Lund. So any other storylines? that's a no. I got a big, hey, hell no, dude. I got my storylines. Like, I think there's a lot. I think the last two nuggets real quick, Bay FC and Utah Royals. We got two new teams.
Oh yeah. By the way, I did not include those in my who won and lost the offseason because they're, you know, they're expansion teams. Side note.
But I am excited about, I am excited about Caprice Didasco and Savvy King playing next to each other on defense. Yeah. Savvy King was at UNC here, got to see her play. And then Caprice Didasco, maybe one of the best, is one of the best defenders in the league.
Yes.
So when you're a brand new team, it's like, okay, you can't score on us. So I really like what they're doing with their defense. I don't know about anywhere else. And then also just happy Utah's back because of kind of how that all ended. It was ugly. And they got another UNC grad, Ali Sentnor. But I got Anamanu and Monahan, and I like seeing the Utah Royals like uniforms back and that kind of yellow back in the league, yellow and blue, and Amy Rodriguez coaching, and I always loved her.
That's
as a player.
Great. That's going to be so fun. I think Anamanu is going to break out a little bit too. I think she's going to have more opportunity.
And I hope so.
Yeah. She's got a high ceiling. We just haven't seen it.
That's our next show after the mock draft, and then we will recap week one. I want to talk about, because it'll still be early in the year, who could break out this year and who you could pick up off waivers.
Yeah.
Because how long have we been
waiting? Who are the rookie class? Like, who are the draft picks are going to be the actual fantasy scorer this year?
Let's go. Give her the ball in Utah and let her go.
All right.
So that's all I got.
All right.
I think this is going to wrap this shit up.
Wrap it up, B.
I think I just made it a rated R podcast. Or is that still PG-13 if you drop a shit bomb?
I think it depends on the number.
All right. You know all the deals. Twitter, Instagram, we'll be out there posting. Our show will be on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Download and rate it. Give us all the good stuff. Last time we checked, we had some fans that were overseas. Where was it? I think we had someone in Iceland listening to us, or Germany and Belgium. It was really fun to see that. And a few countries in Africa.
Yeah.
Which was really
cool. Shout out to our overseas fans.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. And keep spreading the word of NWSL Fantasy. We love it. This game's giant now. It feels like it's grown like tenfold since the time we took off. So we're happy and we're back. Mock draft coming up next. Have a good one.